Kum learn in a black Gemara. We are up to Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. We're still discussing what an animal is allowed to wear on Shabbos. Basically, things which are adorned or a garment, you're allowed to wear. Anything which is considered a masa, a carrying, you're not allowed to wear. And we had some machleksin regarding certain issues, whether it's considered a masa or not a masa. So we had a machlekes regarding the next one, which is kavunas. What exactly, asking kavunas, the Tanakhama says an animal is allowed to wear. And Abiyasi, who disagrees with everything else, agrees that they could wear kavunas. So what is kavunas? Kavunas is considered a garment. Kavunas is something that we cover the animal with from an early day so that the wool remains clean and white. My kavunas. What exactly is kavunas? They tie them down with little hooks from the beginning when it's born so that it always remains on the sheep. Kiritnan, like we learned, because we want to preserve the wool to be able to make nice material out of it. Now we learned, white wool, like clean wool, like when they old, that they keep it covered, they keep it clean, they with hooks, so that you can use it in the future for having, you know, white material, white garments. But then we had the Mishnah about goats, goats allowed to walk with cups under the udders, and we said, allowed to according to Tanakhama, according to Rabbi Yossi, not allowed to, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, it depends. If it's tight, if it's there to dry the milk so that the animal should stop milking in order that it can be impregnated, that it would fatten up, then you're allowed to wear it. But if it's loose, like you want it to trap milk, you're not allowed to, either because it's carrying or because it might fall off, and you're going to end up walking with it and carrying it. We learned Rav Omar Halacha, the Halacha like Rabbi Yehuda actually, who makes a distinction between what the purpose of these cups are. Shmuel Amar Halacha K'Rabbi Yossi. The Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, which basically says that you're not allowed to wear it at all. The Ika the Master Losh Maite Bapinafsha. Others learn that this argument is not based on our Mishnah, but a general question. Rav Amar Le'yavish Mutiv Le'lechal. Rav says that to dry it is Mutiv and not to save the milk, which sounds like exactly like Rabbi Yehuda. And Shmuel says Echav Ze'osa, which sounds like Rabbi Yossi. So I'm not sure. I'm the Rishonim already asked, well, what exactly, why taka don't they learn? You know, just halachos like who, what's the point of having their own argument? The Ika de Masla, others learn, actually this argument is referring to on the following thing. Izim yoytzeis nebraisa. Izim goats, yoytzeis tzurus. There's a lot of work around these cups, liyavish, to dry them, lelechalav, not to trap milk, which is like Rabbi Yehuda. But Rishonim Rabbi Yehuda Mseida Amar, by the name of Rabbi Yehuda Mseida, they said, kach halacha. Technically, that's right. Avami mafis, who's going to throw lottery and guess what the purpose is of these cups? Ezer liyavish ve'ezer lechalav, which is for milk and which is, you know, to dry it. And therefore, metor she'em akidim, echad zev, echad zev asa. So I'm going to say, because we cannot distinguish one another, we're going to say it's all asa. Amar Shmuel, v'am l'adha say, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha k'rab Yehuda b'mseila. The halacha k'rab Yehuda b'mseila, that everything here is asa. Ki also Rovin, but not for the reason we said before, but that Yudbichal is a garment, but because technically he agrees that one type is permitted, almost not permitted, but people cannot distinguish between the two, so therefore let's make a Gzed and Aser everything. Ki Osin Rovin, Om Rabbi Yechin, when Rovin came along from Yisrael, named Rabbi Yechin, he said, Halacha ki Tanakamel, Halacha Tanakamel. Machlek is Rishonim, which Tanakhama is referring to? Is the Tanakhama on Mishnah, which is Matir, all kinds of cups, or the Tanakhama of this particular Braisa, which actually says that they're both Osir, which is really the Rabbi Yehuda, which is really the Rabbi Yosi of our Mishnah. Next Mishnah is, okay, we discussed till now what an animal could walk around with on Shabbos. What shouldn't it walk around with on Shabbos? A camel should not walk around with a mutotelus. Rashi brings different pshatim mutotelus, either something they put under the tail, which we'll see later, or it's like a mardas. So the leather thing they put on the back of the, or on top of the camel. We'll see later why. You should not go with a motelus loy akud v'loy rogul, whether it's akud or whether it's rogul. And the Gemara will explain later what akud is and what rogul is, whether they tie the hands together, the legs together, or the forelegs together, or they tie the foreleg with the right foreleg with the right back leg. The chain, likewise, shar kol behemoth, all other animals, the same thing. Loy yiksho, you should not tie together What is it? Gemalim zebaze. You shouldn't tie one camel to the next animal, the yimshech, and pull them down and pull them and drag them. We'll see later why not. But you can take the reins into your own hand. The yimshech. You shouldn't tie together a bunch of, let's say, have five camels there. You shouldn't tie the reins of the five camels together and then pull them all together. But you could put five separate reins in your hand, and then the yimshech. And even though you're pulling five camels, but each one is separate. Each rein is separate. But don't wrap it around your hand together, as we'll see in the Gemara why you shouldn't do that. Okay, so the Gemara. Okay, so you're not allowed to tie, we said, you're not allowed to tie five camels one behind another and then pull the first one, the first pull, the second pull, the third. You cannot do that. But you're allowed to take the reins of five different animals and keep them separate in your hand, but don't wrap them all together. Well, now, why shouldn't you wrap them all together? We'll soon see in the Gemara why not. Says the Gemara, Tani, you learned, you shouldn't go with this mutotelis that's tied down to its tail, but you could go with this kind of, you know, the bottom part of the saddle. If it's tied on both ends, then you're allowed to, because we're worried that it might slip off, and then you'll carry it on Shabbat for Amos Yisrael Abni, but if it's tied on both ends, it won't slip off. You're also allowed to walk around if you attach it to its humps. So therefore, because it's now much tighter, it won't fall down. Okay, says Gemara Vayta. Rashi here brings another pshat of Mutotelis, is that something like a thing filled with cotton you put underneath the tail to hold the saddle in place. It shouldn't rub against the flesh. Whether it's akud or whether it's ragel. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, akud. You know what akud means? Akedas yad v'regel. Akud means that not that you tie both forelegs together, or you tie both back leg, hind legs together. You tie, let's say, the right foreleg with the right hind leg, with the left foreleg with the left hind leg. Ki Yitzchak ben Avram, who had an akeda. The Mashal says he doesn't know what the makor of the Gemara is. So it seems like if you read Parshat Pshat in Gemara, that akedas Yitzchak was that Avram tied his hand to his foot. Where do we know that from? And the Mashal remains the Tzorichin. But unless he says that we don't really mean that's what happened by Yitzchak, we're just saying that the word akud means tied. But like Yitzchak, he meant tied down. Navas over here means a foreleg and a hind leg, which is a little bit hard to understand, because the Gemara seems to be defining that akud is a specific way of tying. Anyway, here remains the Tzorichin. What's Rogul? Rogul is Yaakov Yoda Agabezroy Viksha. Yaakov is where you take, let's say, the foreleg and you bend it up and you tie it together, so now that camel only has three legs, it can't really move anywhere or go too far. You know, I'll do that either. Mesa, I'll ask you a question. It says in the Braisa, Okut Shtayadayim, if you tie together the two forelegs, stay the climb, the two back legs. And what's Rogul? So Lachayda, it's clearly not what you said. You said Akud means foreleg and hind leg. It clearly says Akud means the two forelegs and the two hind legs. And Ragul is Shalay Yaakov Yodei Agabizroya Yiksha. So the Ragul part, you're right. But the Akud part, you're wrong. Akud means you're tying two forelegs together. That's Akud. So the Gemara, you're right. That's what this Braisa holds. But Hudama Kehaitani, he follows all the Braisa. The time we learned, Akud is Akedas Yad Vedegel. There it defines Akud as tying the hand, the foreleg, and the hind leg, Ishtayadayim, or the two forelegs, Ishtayadayim, or the two hind legs. And the Ragul is Yaakov Yodagab Yisroel V'yikshir. Says the Gemara still doesn't help us. This even the second Braisa. Because the second Braisa gives us three examples. One example is what you said, but the other two examples are tying the forelegs together or tying the hind legs. And you seem to be saying that Akud means only the foreleg and the hind leg. Vakatale dummy. Bishlay Mareshu Sechenichob Mitsiyasakasha. The middle case is questionable, where you're tying the two forelegs together, and it sounds like that's called Akud as well. So Sakasha and Rabbi Yehuda, he said before that Akud is only if you tie the yad and the regal together. And Rashi emphasizes Ki Yitzchak ben Avram. And Rashi here seems to be saying that's exactly what happened by Yitzchak. It says the Vayakid, which means that he tied his hand and feet together. And so where do we know that from? Anyway, the third braisa. He learned the third braisa. So it actually sounds like, not like the Mashal wants to say that, you know, just generally Akud means tied, and then we're defining it here in a specific way. It sounds like that's what happened by Yitzchak. his hand and his foot were tied together. And Rogel shalo yakov yode agab izroi v'yikshar. And Rogel means you shouldn't tie, you know, bend back the foreleg and tie it upwards. So interesting. Well, yikshar gamalim, you shouldn't tie a bunch of camels together. My time, but why not? Because if you have, let's say, five camels, one all tied together, one following the other, it looks like you're leading them to the market. Looks like you're taking them to the market to sell. And means like you're making circles, so it looks like you're taking them around the marketplace, showing your wares, so everybody can see what you have on display. Avol machnis, you're allowed to put the ropes in your, you know, five different camels, the reins in your hand, and to walk with them, but provided you don't tie them all together. Omer Ravashi, Ravashi says, what do you mean you shouldn't, you know, tie the five reins together? Why not? Omer Ravashi, Ravashi says, Elinye Klayim. We're talking about here a different, nothing to do with Shabbos, to do with Klayim. As far as Shabbos is concerned, it makes no difference if you tie the five reins together or you keep them loose. It's to do with Klayim. So more than once to not analyze. Klayim of what? Klayim demai, what are we talking about? Elam Klayim the Adam, which is interesting. That maybe if a person is holding on to it and the camel is carrying something and the person has tied them all together, it's as if the person and the camel are working together. Isn't that Klayim? Like we have a Sher and Chamer shouldn't work together. Maybe a person and an animal also not work together. Says what it can't be, that's Klayim. Because right now we learn Adam Mutter Im Kulam. A person is allowed to work together with all the animals. Lachreish to plow, Velim Shech and to pull. So what's the problem? Ella klayim de chavolim. Maybe you have different reins. Some reins are made out of wool, and some reins are made out of linen. And if you tie them together, and your hand gets benefit from it because it warms, it keeps your hand warm. And even though it's unintentional, maybe over here we hold a dover shei miskaven as us, so we're following Rabbi Yehuda, and that's what this Mishnah holds. Therefore, it's a problem. Says the Gemara. Votanya, didn't we learn that even when it comes to klayim, if all you do is pin together a piece of wool and a piece of linen, and even though you're benefiting, that's not called klayim. Klayim means it has to become one piece. It has to be sewn and woven together. Votanya, we learned how toikiv tkifa achas, if you, let's say, pin together, you put one stitch, ain't a chibur. It's not considered chibur for klayim. So what's the issue here? Says Gemara, no. La'olam klayim de chabolim. We're talking about the ropes taka this klayim here. One is wool and linen. But the Mishnah says here, b'vachla yikrach v'yikshar. It means doesn't only mean wrap them around your hand together. It means and don't make a double knot because then it can be treated like klayim. Says Gemara, v'aita amish mosa shmul b'vad. When do we say you're allowed to have rains on Shabbos? We don't want it to be hanging out of your hand, a tefach, on the other end. You're pulling the camel or whatever you're pulling, and the other end is hanging down. That's carrying. That's not part of the levush of the animal. The reins are part of the levush of the animal because that's how you pull the animal. That's the of the animal. But anything sticking out of your hand, if it's more than a tefach, it's carrying on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to. Omer Bais Labaya, Hashta now, the Omer Shmuel, tefach. Now the Shmuel says the tefach. The Tana Dvei Shmuel, but Tana Dvei Shmuel says Tvachayim, that when you have a leash, it shouldn't be hanging two Tvachim out of your hand, because it's like carrying. So the Gemara says, must be Halacha L'maisa Osalash Minan. Technically it's two Tvachim, but practically speaking, we if you tell people two Tvachim, they'll take advantage and, you know, and allow two Tvachim, sometimes it'll surpass that. So therefore, we'll tell them one Tvach, so even if they surpass it, it's still within the limits. The Gemara, but Tanya, we learned, but we learned ubelvad sheyagbia min hakarka tefach. It says clearly elsewhere. It seems that it's elsewhere. It seems to be saying it can be hanging out. It can be sticking out of your hand as long as you want, provided that it's not. It's a tefach above the ground. Because if it's less than a tefach from the ground, it looks like it's outside your hand and you're carrying. But if it's more than a tefach above the ground, it sounds like it could be hanging. Who cares how many tefachim outside of your hand? So how do we understand that? Says the Gemara, ki tanya hi bechabol debeine beine. That's talking about the reins between you and the animal, you and the camel. The reins between you and the camel, you have to. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, it's loose and hanging downwards, provided it's a tefach above the ground, then everybody can see that these reins are meant to hold the animal in place in check. Because if the mom is dragging on the floor, it no longer looks like it's protecting the animal. It looks more like it's being carried by the animal. And that is Osir on Shabbos. Those are laws of reins. I remember when Zaitchik put out the Eid of the first time, he put out a booklet. And in that booklet, he clearly wrote that you're not allowed to walk with your dog on a leash in this Eid of.
at all, which today seems to have all forgotten. But and he gives many reasons. He talks about this a little bit as well. But anyway, Mishnah. Ein chamoir yoytze b'mardas. A donkey should not walk outside with this mardas. Bizman she'eino kshuruloi. If it's not tied down. Because the simple reason is, anything that we're scared that's going to fall off, and it's expensive, you're not going to leave it there, you're going to pick it up and take it, you might carry four amos, so therefore we are very careful. The labor zug, nor with a bell, even though the bell might be stuffed with cotton and everything else, so it's not making any noise, because you're not allowed to have a bell making noise in Shabbos. Nevertheless, you're not allowed to have a bell, because the bell is to beautify the animal. Afa pishu pakuk, even though you filled it up with cotton or wool, doesn't matter. The labor sulam shibitzavari, a ladder they put around the neck, which basically is like a brace. It's a brace, let's say he broke a bone or something, so it's a brace and the neck shouldn't turn around too far. So they put something that looks like a ladder. And again, this piece is expensive and it falls down, you're going to pick it up and put it back up. It's not like the splint that we learned yesterday that you're allowed to have around a broken bone of the animal. This ladder here is something expensive and if it falls down, you might pick it up. The loibir tzua shibaragloi, nor the strap around this leg. You can't have that either. We'll see no matter what the strap is for. The ein hatanagoylim yoitzin bechutin, and the tanagoylim cannot go with the strings wrapped around their legs. The loy betsua shibraglem, or the strap around their legs. We'll see later in the matter why even you had a strap in the first place. Why would you? And then you're not allowed to have it. The ein haschadim yoitzin, the rams, the male rams, cannot go out by a gola. They would have a tiny little wagon that was under shetachas al yishalem, that was under their tail. Their tails were very bushy and heavy and meaty, and it would drag on the ground, and we don't want it to get all scratched up and ruined, so therefore they would put in a little vegula, a little wagon they would put underneath to hold the tail in, because there's no bones in that tail and it gets all ruined. Nor do we want the sheep to go out with chanunas. The Gemara later will tell us chanunas are different, three different opinions. The ein ha'egel yaitze begimon. And we don't want a calf to walk around with gimon, which is a little tiny yoke that sits on his neck. These are expensive items, and if they fall down, you might end up carrying it. Nor a potter, if you put like a porcupine skin on it, because it has all these quills and it keeps all these insects and parasites away, you're not allowed to put it on top of the animal. It's an expensive piece again. And you also put it, you know, they will put it tied around the udder of the cow, and they don't want any pests there. The loibir tzua shebein kaneh, nor with a strap between its horns, which is purely for beauty, and you know, I'll do that. But parosei she Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah hoisa yaitze b'tzua shebein kaneh, the bull of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah did have a tzua between its horns, sheloi b'tzayin chachamim, this was against the wishes of the chachamim. As we'll see later. Says the Gemara, my time, starting with the first thing, Madas, what's the reason? Kida Amran. Here's talking about you didn't tie it Erev Shabbos. Because you didn't tie it Erev Shabbos, it seems like it's not a Levush. And remember, you need, in order to be a Levush, you have to prepare it before, like Erev Shabbos. That's why we had this Gemara a few days ago. Leib Zuga Bel. Afa Pishu Pakug, Mishum, the Mechze Commander Ozel Lechiniga. It looks like you're planning to go out there and sell it. And if you're not allowed, you're going to go in a circle, you're not allowed to the market to sell it. V'loy b'sulam shibitzavari, the ladder. Amar Avuna, Avuna says, b'loyam l'mat avdila. What is, b'loyam mean? They used to put this next to his jaws. What exactly is the role of this ladder, this wood that looks like a ladder, that they made next to his jaws? L'mat avdila, what was his purpose? L'heicha de isle maka, if he has some kind of a wound, l'hadar chayichbe, he shouldn't turn around and then he rubs against it and he can hurt himself further. So therefore, they would put this ladder in place like a brace. The loy b'tzua shebaragli, this strap around his foot. What was that for? That this, the avdilei legizah, someone has like a pigeon toed with the knees like rub against each other. So they put these big hefty rings around them, or straps, so that their feet don't rub, their legs don't rub against each other. With the knees, let's say, bang against each other. So that. The tanagol go with the strings. What's that for? The avdilei simona. They used to put a string around the tanagol just to have a sign that's theirs. You shouldn't mix up with others' tanagol. Don't do it on Shabbat because if it falls off, you're going to pick it up and put it back on. And might walk 4 amos. V'loy b'letzua with a strap. The avdilei, what was that for? They put a strap around the tanagol, a heavy, heavy belt. You shouldn't jump around the top of all the pots and pans or the dishes and break them.
So they would tie together the two legs with a short strap, so they could walk around a little bit, but not too far. So they the main thing is they shouldn't be able to lift their leg and climb on top of dishes. The einas chodim yetsin bagol, this little wagon, keich lelechamten al yosef, we don't want to ruin the tail. Veina lechelim yetsin chanunus, what exactly is chanunus? Yosef achav alul kamer l'chiz, v'yosef yisat l'kamer, said, meshar shegoizin oisa, what they would do is after they would share the wool, so the animal now would be cold. The wool was like a sweater, warmed them up. But now the animal would be cold. So what they did was, toinin lo azag b'shemen, they would take a little bit of material and dip it in oil, umanichin lo apetchosa, and they would place it on the forehead, kadesh lo yistanin. So the animal shouldn't feel cold. It would warm up the animal that way. And they would put some kind of wool there, something on the forehead. And that's what we mean on Shabbos. So that's what chanugas were. So, you're treating your animal like Marukva, who was a very, very wealthy person, and he had this kind of a sheep. That he was very wealthy, and he was an abezin. You can tell me every sheep is treated the same way. They put in expensive material, dip it in oil, and put it on the forehead. No way. Ela Yosef, a papa Bashmul came and Chizin, the Yosef came and he said, "B'shar shekaras leilid, when the animal is about to give birth, toynil lo shnei azokin." They would put two pieces of material, shoshemen of oil. Umenichin lo echad al patchasa. They would put place one to keep the animal, the pain, to keep the pain away. Put one on the forehead, the echad al arechem, and one on the womb, kedei shetischamim, in order that the animal should feel warm and easily give birth. Amud al Nachman in Kenev. So asisa yalta. You're treating your animal like my wife yalta, and that's what she used to do. And I don't believe that people would treat the animal with such compassion. Ela maravuna. Avuna said, "Eitz echad yesh b'krocha yam." Do you know what chanunus is? There is a tree overseas. The chanun shmoi, the name of that particular species is called chanun. Umevin kisim, they will take a little splinter there. Umenicha labuchaytma, they will place it in the nose of the animal. Kedeshet tisatish, and it would cause the animal to sneeze. And the advantage of that is the yiplu daneroish, and all the worms that were crawling in his nose and beyond would come popping out. Says the Gemara, if so why only females? It says v'chelim, which are females. Why only females? Yehachis charnami. Also, they need this to get rid of all these insects and parasites. So we say kimin the menachis charim b'hadodi, because the rams, the male rams, keep on banging their heads against each other. Memela naflan. Memela, these pests fall out. It's the women who are much more docile that need this extra piece of wood. Shimon Azira says it was kisma. The risma, yes, it's a piece of wood, but it wasn't from a tree called chanun, it was from the risma tree, and that's what they put inside. Says the Gemara, Bishlam, and the Rav Huna, so I have four different opinions what chanunus is. Rav Huna is the only one that makes sense, the word chanunus, because the name of the species of tree was called chanun. Hainu toni chanunus, makes sense. El Rabbanan, my chaninus, all these other examples, what does it do with the word chanunu? All the things, they put on the forehead, with giving birth, or with cold, all of these different things. Where does chanunus come in? Says the Gemara, or even the last thing from the other species of tree. Chanunus from the word compassion. We did something that shows compassion to the animal. But don't do it on Shabbos. It's a begimun. You shouldn't go out with this gimun. My egel begimun. What exactly is this gimun? It's a kind of a saddle. How do we know that? What it says here. Sorry, one second. We said my egel begimun. What exactly is egel begimun? We said before that egel begimun means it's a little yoke, and they put it around the neck. So that the idea of this yoke on a little baby is around his neck is to weigh the neck down, to train the animal to when to eat. You have to drop the neck. So as it grows bigger, it continues to to put the head down in order to be able to bend down. That's where the word gimel is. How do you know the word gimel means to bend down? Because we're calling it gimel in this oil. We're talking about a yoke, and yet we're calling it gimel. Call it a yoke. We're calling it gimel because deliberately the purpose was to train the animal to put the head down. So why do we do that? So we answer because it says apostasy to receive halachav ke egmon roishoy. You want to bend you bend your head down like this egmon. So therefore, we call it gimel because of that pasuk to show you that we're talking about a little yoke to train the animal to bend down. Like part of the kupa, what's that? We said before that's porcupine quills to protect the animal, especially the otter, from pests. So he says here, what's this kupa? We don't want any yale. We don't want them. Rashi says yale are like bloodsuckers, and his other says other pests. We don't want them climbing there. Leib and tzush beik, and then add a strap between the horns. Now, if remember we had a machlekes rabbi shul before, and everyone agrees you're allowed to do something for an animal which is shmira. We had a machlekes if an excess shmira is also all right. But then we said lenoi is we had a machlekes, but everyone agrees that noi, if you do something for beauty, it's asa. So this strap that's between the horns, what is its purpose? Ila Rav, if you learn like Rav, they hold that not only you're not allowed to do things for beauty, but even for extra shmita, then bein lenoi, bein l'sham, it also, whether it's for beauty, and whether it's for l'sham, it's also, because this is extra, you don't need it by this animal, so therefore, it is also, for both reasons. But Ila Shmuel, who says that extra shmita is all right, only lenoi is also, and l'sham amutah, then here we're talking about lenoi, that this strap is only for beauty. Then we said, parosesh Rav Elazar ben Azariah, his para, his bull. Sounds like he had one bull, and he put this between the horns. Freddy, what of a chod of para? Havale, Rabbi Elazar only had one para. He was so wealthy that he had his trace of the Gemara Brachas when they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and said he was wealthy, that he had 12, or the others say 13,000 calves, was his maaser. Was only 10% every year, kol shasa v'shasa, every single year. So l'chayda, if he had so many, how come only one particular bull he put the strap around the horns? Said he might have tana, he did put a strap around the horns of his own animal, elosho shchinasa haisa, of his neighbor. So why would he put a strap around his neighbor's animal? He taka didn't. So why do we give it, attribute to him? Umetoich shalai michaba. Since the Chachamim say, you know, I have a strap on Shabbat, have your animal walking with a strap on Shabbat, if it's Lanoi, and he saw his neighbor doing it, and he didn't protest, Nikra'as al Shmoi, he is then considered, he's to be blamed for it. The next whole Gemara, tomorrow we'll learn all about the idea of taking responsibility for not being Moich against somebody. All the Rishayim wonder how Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was able to give 12,000 sheep Meiser. When did he live? He lived after the Churban Beis Hamikdash. He was 18 years old when he became Nasi. According to Tosis's calculations, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the leader after the Churban HaBayis, which we know the story that he went out and he saved Yavne and all that, for another year or two. Afterwards, the Gamil took over and he reigned for a couple of years before the whole story. And so, and he was 18 years old. So he couldn't have been, after the Churban, so the Churban, which was like 5 years before, at best he would have been maybe 4 years before, he would have been 14 years old. And you're not chayim until your bar mitzvah. So he only would have done it 1 year. So what do you mean b'chol shasa v'shasa? That's Tesis's question. And what's even more interesting is the Ritva here. When he asked the same question, he says that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, interesting, I never saw this before, he said that he wasn't 18 years old when he became Nasi. He was actually 13 years old when he became Nasi. The Ritva says. And if he was 13 when he became Nasi, and this is 4 years after Churban Beis Hamikdash, it couldn't have been that he gave Maaser at all. How can it be? Because we made a gzeira, we don't want people to set aside maaser after Churban, because then you won't treat it right. Why make things kodesh when you don't really have ways of treating it right after Churban Beis Hamikdash? So basically, they take a number of answers. Either this is before the gzeira, people still continue giving maaser for a number of years after the Churban. Or Tesis says that b'chal wasn't maaser, it was taxes. We use the word maaser, but it was actually taxes to the government. Or Tesis says it was an apotrufus. Now, Petrufus, an executive estate, while he was a cotton, so for a number of years, the executor, before Rabbi Elazariah was old enough, used to give the maaser. But that everyone wonders, because the din is that Petrufus is not allowed to give maaser only from what the person is going to eat. How in the world did Rabbi Elazariah can eat 120,000 things? They have to give maaser 12,000. So, anyway, but the others, Rabbi Yaakov Enden, who wrote a lot of history, he argues that actually Rabbi Yechem Zakkai lived 40 years after. He was a leader for 40 years after the Churban Bayis. Because we know that for 40 years he was a leader, and according to him, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai just became the leader by Churban Beis Hamikdash, because Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, who was an Asar Lung Malchus, and Shem Gamliel, they were killed right before the Churban Bayis, and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai took over afterwards.
And therefore, he said there's no issue whatsoever. So Rabbi Elazar, so it makes it even more difficult. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the whole story after he passed away and Gemilta took over, this would have been 45 years after the Churban HaBayis. And if he was 18 years old, there's no way that he lived Bizman HaBayis. So therefore, he will have to answer like Tosfos that it's taxes. Anyway, the Gemara leads in now to a whole discussion about people taking responsibility. If you're not Moiche, you're liable. So Gemara will start today and will continue tomorrow. Says the Gemara, Rav the Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yechina, Rabbi Chaviva, Masna. These four were about to say something, and before they said something, the Gemara interrupts and says, "Masnu." They taught the following, and then Gemara interrupts. Bekulu the Seder Moed, entire Seder of Moed, you know, from Shabbos and through all the other Masechtos here. Kol Kehai Zugach. Every time we mention these names, you know, Rav and Chanina, Rabbi Yechina, Chaviva. Some people chalut for Rabbi Yechina, my Rabbi Enison. Some people take out Rabbi Yechina and replace it with Rabbi Enison. But nevertheless, what do they all say? Kol mi she'efsher limcheis la'anshe beise v'loy micha. Anybody who is able to be moicha his family, and he isn't. Nitvus la'anshe beise. Any avedas they do, you're considered, you're culpable. Because you had an opportunity to protest and you didn't. Ba'anshe ire, if you were in a position that you can actually have influence, you're a rov or something, you can influence all the people in your city, and you didn't. Nitvus la'anshe ire. You're culpable for their avedas. Let's say you're a king or a nasi, that you have the ability to be meicha in the whole world, then you're responsible for all the Vedas in the world. These members of Rej Gulusa, they are responsible for everything that happens in the world. Hashem will come with justice and demand from the elders of his nation, the sort of his officers, im sarim chotu, the officer sinned, zikenim usually mean the Sanhedrin, ma chotu, what did they sin? They didn't do anything. Ele'ema alzikenim, you know what they're responsible for? Shalei michlu b'sarim. They should have protested, they shouldn't be worried about politics, they should have told the sarim off for their misbehavior, and they didn't. The zikenim are culpable as well. Rabbi Yehuda v'yosek kamei Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda was once sitting before Shmuel. Also, a woman came in, Kotzavcha kamei, started to shout. V'loi havi mashkech bar. Rabbi Yehuda totally ignored her. She had some recriminations about something. He ignored her. Amalei. So, Shmuel ignored her. So, Rabbi Yehuda said to his Rebbe Shmuel, Leisov lemar, don't you know the pasuk where it says, Oitem ozne, if you close up your ear, mezakas dov, from listening to the shouts and screams of a poor person, gam hu yikre, when your turn comes to scream, v'loi yan Hashem won't respond to you? Amalei. So, Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only when you're able to do something. Shinina, you clever one. Reishach, your leader, which is me, I'm Shmuel Bekiriti. I'm innocent. I'm cold. You know, I'm innocent here. I can't do anything for this woman, so I can ignore her. Aber Reisha the Reishach, the head of your head, no, it's my head, which is Marukva, who is the head of the Bezin, Bechamini, he's in boiling water. Because Hayasi Marukva Av Bezin, Marukva is the Av Bezin, so he's in a position. So Shmuel is saying that the only time that you have to be meicha is if you're in a position to have influence, to chsiv. Because it says a pasuk, Beis David, the house of David, Koy Amar Hashem, the Ebisha says, Dina Levoiker Mishpat, that he has to in the morning give justice, V'hitzila Goslom Yad Oishik, and to rescue the stolen items from those who rob people. If not, Penteitze Ke'esh Chamosi, my anger, will go out there like fire, U'boil, and will burn. The Ein Mechaber will not be extinguished b'pnei Roye Malayim, for the evil designs of these people. So who's he blaming? He's blaming Beis David, those in a position to do something about it. And Marukva is in a position because he's the head. And we had before, he's a very rich man as well. So he was rich and he was an Av Bezin. Machlek is whether Marukva was actually a student of Shmuel rather than a teacher. But even though he was a student of Shmuel, but because in this area he was the Av Bezin, he was in a position. Even though we learned yesterday Shmuel was called the king, Arivech, because he knew all the laws of Dinim, of Chesh and Mishpat, and he was very well respected for that. Nevertheless, he was not an Av Bezin, so he didn't really have that ability or that influence. So at this point in the Gemara, it seems that the ones who have to be Melech are people who can be listened to and have influence. Then you have a duty to actually protest and say something. Even though Rashi before called it and said why he's called a king Shmuel is because he's a shayfet kimelech ha-shayfet al-aretz, that he also was in a position. So maybe this story happened before he became that shayfet melech al-aretz. Okay, we'll stop here and continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem.